Hey everyone, welcome to our next edition of Taking Stock. I am really, really excited to have two of my closest colleagues and two of my closest friends join the discussion today. Jeff Grafeo, who is a partner at Clarkston and leads Clarkston Technology Solutions, and Megan Weldon, who is a manager with Clarkston Technology Solutions. They'll be joining us and we're going to be talking about Applications Managed Services, or AMS, and it is a landscape that is absolutely evolving from one that has historically been viewed as a transactional relationship to more of a support partnership. And we're seeing our clients' expectations around what they're looking for in an AMS provider evolve from simply intaking tickets and meeting SLAs to more around driving value. And Jeff and Megan are going to talk about a lot of these topics. They've got great insight to share, and appreciate you listening to the discussion. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Megan. Welcome to Taking Stock.
Hey, how you doing, Steve?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Probably two of my closest colleagues at Clarkston in the world. And it's amazing that it's taken a year for you to join me.
So yeah, explain that to me. Why has it taken so long to get us on your podcast?
Well, Jeff, I talk to you 10 times a day. I didn't think we needed to add to it.
Understood. And I didn't think I was, hear us.
Yeah, and I didn't think I was worthy of Megan. So that's probably the best way to put it.
Oh, stop.
All right. So there's like a million things we could talk about. We're going to talk about managed services today. And it's something that I know you both, as we'll talk about in your roles, are thinking about a lot. And where I want to start, if we think about, I think there is a kind of perception of applications, managed services, what they mean in the market, the value that they play to companies, but also how that has transformed in terms of the ways in which providers are providing those services to clients, and also expectations for companies in terms of what they should be getting. But I want to take a step back before we turn to talk about kind of the transformation of AMS. And Jeff, I thought maybe you could provide the best perspective. Historically, how have companies both provided managed services, and what have historically the expectations for companies been around what they should be getting out of a managed service provider?
Sure. Yeah, no, I think it's obviously a great topic. We're excited to be able to talk about it today. And if I look back over the years, you know, there's been an evolution around managed services. And I look at how companies used to provide support for their applications, which many times they used to build internal centers of excellence to be able to support a lot of these applications, and, you know, moving from these on-premise type applications. And over time, what they realized is that, you know, each person has a certain set of skills. There wasn't a lot, you know, as much cross-pollination, not as much value. And there was an opportunity that they saw in working with companies that were external, where they were able to push out the support of the applications across multiple skill sets. So not necessarily having a full-time dedicated person in a specific area. So there's a tremendous amount of value that they saw in doing that. And that's where, you know, the evolution started to move to managed services. A lot of that happened where it was offshore, you know, had the capability to now electronically communicate to, you know, with these companies around their systems to be able to provide that support. And it was very much and has been for years in this kind of order taking process, right? So there was an analysis internally, there was that shift, and now it's push over to an external company to actually do the work. And that's kind of how it's evolved over the past, I don't know, 20, 25 years or so.
Yeah, and rooted in this idea that, just from my perspective, that, you know, it's in a lot of ways around core competencies. You know, a lot of companies didn't want to be in the business of kind of managing, you know, this, you know, particular software, this particular application. Let's outsource that at a pretty low cost, right? And you mentioned offshore, so being able to do it at a pretty low cost. But that's evolved, right? So you talked about the 11 evolution to managed services, and now we've seen perhaps changing expectations, in some ways, kind of a transformation of how companies think about AMS. And I know Megan, you've had the opportunity to dive into this over the past few years. What are your thoughts around kind of looking ahead, the transformation of AMS?
Sure. So we're continuing to see a shift in an evolution of the AMS environment. So the traditional push of tickets, the push of here's something that we need you to work on, outsourcing is still very prevalent and will continue to maintain a large aspect of the AMS environment. But the area that we're seeing a shift to is really more of that pool where the AMS team is looking into their systems, looking into the client systems and identifying areas where they can provide additional business value to ensure that the clients are keeping their systems and their environments up to best in class industry practice. So long are the days of here's a ticket, go work on it, and then that's it. We're seeing a lot more collaboration between our AMS teams and our clients to work on defects, but also help them identify ways they can continue to improve their system and their operations.
And, you know, I would kind of expand on that. I think that the evolution continues where the expectation from clients is that you really understand their business. So, you know, when you're diving in and you're working, it's not necessarily an IT liaison only. You're actually, from a managed services perspective, working directly with the business themselves. So there's more of a trust that they're wanting to, you know, push to the managed services, and an expectation that, you know, again, you're understanding the business and you're able to provide good customer service enough to be able to interact with users directly.
Yeah, so let me, I agree with everything you're both saying. I'm going to jump ahead to a topic I wanted to address later. But as it comes down to the kind of the people in the labor pool, one of the critical value propositions of managed services is low cost, right? That is, you know, that is when most companies think about AMS, they think about price as being a driving factor. The more that you talk about some of the value that you referenced, Jeff, the business outcomes that you're trying to realize, the knowledge of the company, the relationships, those are all things that cost money, right? So how do you kind of rationalize that? And how do you create, is it just a challenge for these providers to figure out a way to provide all of this value at a lower cost? Or is it a question of companies realizing that perhaps you're going to need to make more of an investment to get to attain this value?
Yeah, and I guess it's questions to me, Steve. I would say it's a combination. I think that they're, you know, clients are willing to pay for value, you know, as it relates to their business. You know, these services, you know, have been commoditized, I think, over the years, pushed down, kind of low cost, like you're talking about. And that, you know, providers, again, they went offshore and that's kind of how you're able to, you know, to drive the cost down. Where clients see that providers are able to have higher level resources to a certain extent, that interface and understand the business, they're more willing to pay that because of the actual value that they see in the reduced time to get something understood and completed. That doesn't mean the providers are wholesale changing their labor force completely. There's a kind of a customer facing side of it. And there's still an aspect of the labor force, which is, you know, could be a bulk of the resources that, you know, are doing the work and they might not be the ones that are directly interacting, you know, with the clients. So it's either, you know, evolve the labor force, the entire labor force, which can be costly, you know, does all of it, or, you know, you have more customer facing folks that are senior architects that understand the business, and clients are willing to pay for that advice.
Yeah. So Megan, you, in your role, you, help oversee managed service teams. And what are some of the things that you're doing to invest in your teams and the resources that you're managing to ensure that they're able to have that industry knowledge, to develop those relationships, to have that broader business knowledge so that they understand what value is, right? And that it's not just about, you know, punching tickets. It's more about delivering business value. What are some things that you're doing and that companies should be expecting?
So one of the things that we're doing is continuous learning for all of our stewards, whether they be an SAP expert that has 25 years in sales and distribution or a more junior developer who is working within ABAP. We are continuously having our stewards take additional certifications with SAP and take additional trainings internally. We also have set up some knowledge sharing communities within the experts so that they can share information across different clients to hear XYZ is doing this and discuss kind of what is best in class these days and be able to stay up to date, up to speed, and bring that back to their current engagements.
And I think another thing as well, Megan, that we continue to do is, we think it's important to have that apprentice-based model. So we make investments where we'll take, folks that are more junior, less experienced, and team them up with more experienced people to ensure that there's that collaboration and that learning that you would get. And that's kind of a tried and true way, that companies have done it for years. And that's a, concerted effort and focus that we do for our less experienced folks.
We hear a lot also from companies saying that critical to success with their AMS provider is dedicated resources. I want dedicated resources. How does that fit within the cost equation, right? Versus some of the value and efficiencies that could be gained from, a kind of shared resource pool.
So I think that, that is actually part of the challenge, right? Of dealing with fractional kind of consulting. And there's a value add to the client when you have a consistency of resources. What you typically try to do is have a level of consistency in that customer service, customer focus side. And limit the pool of resources so that you're not constantly in this learning cycle, right? There's going to be when you have fractional consulting, there is naturally knowledge transfer that is happening and continues to happen to get folks up a learning curve. But if you make that investment, narrow the focus of the pool of resources, you're able to still add value to the client and limit the impact to the challenges you have when you're trying to kind of staff people partially on different engagements.
Yeah, great. So I want to shift, if we can, to another topic, which is how do you measure success? We're talking about a shift from kind of more tactical kind of managing tickets to more that is more managing value. Well, I think that also needs to be realized. Megan, we used to always talk about SLAs. Right. Mm-hmm. So, and that was often kind of how you evaluated success as it related to your managed service provider. How is that evolving? How are we tracking performance aligns with this focus on business value and business outcomes?
So a lot of the SLAs that we're tracking are consistent from the older days of AMS, where we're still tracking, are we meeting delivery timelines? Are we meeting response timelines? Things along those lines. But things that we are starting to inject into our metrics and what we are tracking is really around quality and client satisfaction. So measuring, are we able to implement the right fix the first time? Are we capturing all of the updates within documentation and identifying the root cause and providing knowledge transfer and that information and injecting that back within the client? So we're really moving away from did X happen, yes or no, into was the quality there, was the customer happy, and how can we continue to drive business value?
And was value realized, right? I mean, Jeff, that's ultimately, because it's one thing to say that, hey, our call center response time is X, Y, Z. Great, we're responding to calls, but are we delivering value? Are we solving problems versus just answering the phone?
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of how, and that's what those measurements get after, right? So if the same issue comes in and, you know, or you're on an issue and you respond to it, that's great. But if it takes you three times to get it resolved, as opposed to you're getting it right the first time, and that's a metric that we're tracking, that's more value for our client, right? Better experience, get it resolved initially, doesn't drag on. That's, you know, why we've kind of shifted and focused around these metrics. And clients, I think, you know, are, you know, starting to shift and understand that.
Yeah. So what else should we be thinking about? If you were, I'll go to us and to jump back to the resource model. We talked about offshore versus onshore, right? And a little bit of commercial here, but obviously Carson Technology Solutions, we believe, has a very unique value proposition in the fact that it is an offshore model onshore in some ways, right? Yeah. Where you're able to provide some of those kind of cost savings, but talk a little bit about some of the benefits of being onshore, whether CTS or not. Just talk about some of the benefits of an onshore resourcing model that clients could realize.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, if you look at the client base, you know, we're primarily dealing with U.S.-based global companies. Mm-hmm. There's a way that U.S. companies do business. And, you know, having a U.S. labor pool, they get those clients. They get the culture. They get the processes. And they understand the nature of how those companies do business. That's, you know, one of the big value adds for clients is that there isn't this learning curve to come up and understand necessarily the cultural nuances you have and how you do business when it's a U.S.-based company. And so, you know, with this model where you're focusing your technology centers around, you know, lower cost of living cities that have, you know, you can attract really good, you know, technical talent, you're able to drive that value back into your client's business because it's lower cost overall for them. At the same time, you're able to institute, I think, for, you know, a company, if you have, you know, a longstanding consulting base in programs that you can train people around, you know, those are things that you're able to leverage, which is what one of the ways that we've done it. You know, we've leveraged the training programs that have been tried and true for many years into our talent pool. And, you know, that's one way that we've been able to continue to drive costs down while still adding value to our clients.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Megan, it aligns to everything that we've been talking about, you know, for the past few minutes, which is, you know, if you're going to drive that business value and outcome, you know, being closer to the business, and that closer could mean geographically closer, right? It could also mean just understanding of some of those business drivers, understanding some of the industry norms, some of the cultural norms that I think allow you to provide some of the business value and business outcomes, some of the things that you referenced earlier, Megan.
Yeah. And another thing to add, you mentioned it briefly, Steve, is just the physical location as well can be a benefit. In most cases, we're one or 2 hours difference at max from all of our clients. So it really allows for us to be able to hop on a call and collaborate with our clients very quickly and easily within their same time zone to resolve issues nearly immediately. There isn't that delay of a handful of hours based off of time zone changes and things along those lines.
Yeah, and I think the challenge and or the opportunity for companies is finding that right mix, right? So absolutely, you still, let's not lose sight, Jeff, of what you talked about earlier, where we need to make sure that this is an outsourced model meant to drive down the cost of managing, you know, these services internally. However, that being said, to not lose sight of the value that you could realize and to seek ways in which you could, through a partner, find, you know, a partner that's invested in business outcomes, is willing to essentially kind of have a little bit of skin in the game as it is associated with the realizing those business outcomes to drive the most, you know, optimal relationship. All right, Megan, Jeff, thank you very much.
Thanks for the discussion.
Thanks for the insight.
As usual, we appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thanks for joining.
Thanks.
All right. See you guys. Jeff and Megan, thank you both very much for a great discussion. And thank you, everyone, for listening, as always. I know we hit upon it at the end, but, you know, where I, you know, really think there's an opportunity for companies to find that sweet spot, it is finding a partner that is able to provide some of those, you know, efficiencies, some of those cost savings, and your ability to outsource the management of these software applications. But absolutely, I would challenge you to look for partners who are invested in driving business outcomes and helping you realize business value, as opposed to just a transactional partner. They are out there, absolutely, and I would challenge you in your conversations with potential partners to make sure that you're finding that sweet spot and you have a partner that's truly vested in driving value for your business. Thanks again for listening, everyone, and look forward to chatting with you again real soon here on Taking Stock. Have a great day.